the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament begins this week. The annual tournament is the NCAA's most profitable business. Reports indicate the association earned roughly $900 million in revenue, most of which comes from the broadcast rights. Ben Strauss joins us now. His new book is called Indentured, the inside story of the rebellion against the NCAA. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you write in the book that college athletes who make this money, others profit off of, but they never see a dime of it, are being exploited, kind of plain and simple. Why do you call this exploitation?
Well, I think you can look at the numbers and see pretty clearly that you have college sports is a $13 billion industry. That's more, if you can believe it, than the NFL today. The NCAA, as you mentioned, is going to bring in $900 million, much of it from the March Madness tournament that is about to start. Coaches are making as much as $10 million a year. Coach Mike Krzyzewski at Duke is the highest paid coach, college or professional, in America. The conferences have their own TV networks, and they're pulling in $200-300 million. And if you look at all the money swirling around college sports and the idea that the players don't see a dime of it, it's hard to come to any other conclusion that this is exploitation.
And the NCAA would probably say, well, these athletes are on scholarships. That's how they're being paid. These are amateur athletes. So what do you see that's wrong with that argument?
I think that you could defend the status quo a lot easier if the athletes were getting an education. But graduation rates for top-level football players and top-level basketball players are around 50%. And if you look at just what happened at North Carolina, where you had this academic scandal that went on for 25 years, where the school and the athletic department knew that athletes were being funneled into fake classes, you can see how secondary the education is to the athletics for so many of these athletes. And beyond North Carolina, there are studies that come out. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did one. The Chronicle of Higher Education has done one, where if you look at the majors of these athletes, you know, they're clustered into things like fitness studies. And majors that aren't going to serve them, you know, beyond college. And so the idea that they're getting an education, what is supposed to make this grand bargain okay, just isn't happening.
You write that only, I think it's 5% of these college athletes do go on to play professional sports. So what would it mean for them if they did start to see some of the profits from their college career days?
Well, I spent some time with a former football player at Cal. Over the course of the O'Bannon trial, which was a lawsuit against the NCAA that said, you know, players deserved a piece of all of this money coming in. And he said, you know, that being a college athlete was wonderful. You get to play in the stadium, you know, with thousands and thousands of people. You get to be on television. It's very glamorous in some senses. And then he said he graduated. He tried out for an NFL team. He didn't make it. And he didn't have a resume. He had nothing to fall back on. And now he drives for Lyft. He's basically a taxi driver. And so they're just not prepared for the next step in life. And if you equip them with a nest egg or some money, it would make that transition far easier, I think. And it's money that they've worked for and absolutely deserve.
We're talking with Ben Strauss right now, contributing writer for The New York Times and co-author of the book we're talking about. It's called Indentured, the inside story of the rebellion against the NCAA. And you open with a story about a basketball player named Ryan Boatwright. Can you tell us a little bit of his story?
Yeah, so Ryan Boatwright was a basketball player at the University of Connecticut a few years ago. And he came under investigation by the NCAA. And as soon as you are suspected of any wrongdoing, this is how college sports worked, you know, you're guilty before innocent, he was suspended by his school, Connecticut. And the story, it turned out, was that the man making accusations to the NCAA was Ryan's mother's ex-boyfriend. And this terrible thing that the family had done was accept money for a plane ticket so that his mother could go on a recruiting visit with Ryan. Sort of this very basic thing that most parents can do who have money. And Ryan's mother, her name was Tanisha, her name is Tanisha, is a single mother with four kids. She's black and didn't have the means to go with her son on these recruiting visits. And so a family friend paid for them. And the NCAA, you know, gets this tip from an angry ex-boyfriend who has a vendetta against the family and is vengeful against the boat rights. And they basically swoop in and almost terrorize Tanisha. They, you know, take her to a hotel room and there's four agents and they, you know, badger her about every check she's written over the last few years. You know, and she says this was for Christmas presents. And they say, well, how do we know? They went to her workplace. And they went to her friends' houses and her friends' workplaces. And this is so traumatic that she ends up losing her job over, you know, taking a little bit of money to go on a recruiting trip with her son.
Well, in a story like this, I mean, what sort of legal recourse does an athlete or their family have if they get a disagreement like this with the NCAA?
That's actually a fantastic question. The answer is they have no recourse because a Supreme Court decision from the 1980s said that the NCAA does not have to provide due process to anybody it investigates. And that means sometimes you don't know who is made accusations against you. You don't know what those accusations are. And you don't have access to the evidence that's been, you know, submitted against you. You have no rights.
One aspect of this book that is growing, the chorus of voices growing, talking about this, saying that there is a racial element to these NCAA rules and that they unfairly disadvantage black players. What are people saying about that?
Yeah, I think that this absolutely is a civil rights issue because upper middle class families who tend to be whiter and tend to, you know, have more means at their disposal are able to navigate these rules. When you are, you know, poor and you're black, just like what happened with Tanisha, you don't have the wherewithal to navigate the system. Whereas somebody who has means and who has more money is. And so if you look also at the composition of these athletes in top level football and top level basketball, the vast majority of them are black. And so when the NCAA or these rules, just given the construct of the way college sports is set up, tend to negatively impact African Americans more than they do white people.
And given the cultural backdrop of where our country is right now, the Black Lives Matter movement, looking at systemic inequality, do you see particularly this advantage getting a little traction right now?
Yeah, I think I think it is a way to shine a light on this. I would say also that you can look at what happened at Missouri just recently or last year, where the football team was part of a movement to protest racism on campus. And these were issues that had been percolating for a while on campus. And as soon as the football team announced that we are not going to play until these issues are sorted out, the president resigned within 36 hours. And so we can see just how much power the football team has because of how much money is tied up in these games being played with the TV contracts and the TV networks, that there is so much power that players do have. And if they are able to use their voices, they can make change.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was Ben Strauss, a contributing writer for The New York Times and co-author of the new book called Indentured, The Inside Story of the Rebellion Against the NCAA. The book looks at the backlash against the NCAA's policies surrounding student athletes and profit.